Welcome to episode 1378 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The sixth commandment forbids murder. But scripture makes a crucial distinction. Not all killing is murder. Not all death caused by human hands is the same. This might seem like a semantic distinction, but it is actually profound. It reveals something essential about biblical justice. Justice requires discernment. Justice requires the ability to distinguish between different kinds of acts and different kinds of responsibility. The law in Numbers 35 establishes this distinction with remarkable clarity.
The assembly must protect the one accused of murder from the avenger of blood and send the accused back to the city of refuge to which they fled. The accused must stay there until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil.
This is not a modern legal system, but it is a system designed to do something crucial, to protect the innocent from mob justice while also holding the guilty accountable. In the ancient world, when someone was killed, the victim's family had the right, and sometimes the obligation, to kill the murderer in revenge. This was blood vengeance. It made sense in a world without formal courts or police. But blood vengeance had a fatal flaw. It did not distinguish between different kinds of killing. If your family member was killed, whether deliberately murdered or accidentally struck down, your duty was the same: revenge. The result was escalating cycles of violence. Person A kills person B's brother accidentally. Person B kills person A in revenge. Person A's family kills someone from person B's family. The violence spirals outward, consuming entire clans. Generations of families are locked in feuds that no one can remember the origin of. Numbers 35 establishes a different system. It says, not all killing requires blood vengeance. There is a distinction between murder and manslaughter, between intentional killing and accidental death. And to protect people accused of accidental killing from mob justice, cities of refuge are established. The law is specific.
Select three cities east of the Jordan and three in the land of Canaan as cities of refuge. These six cities will be a place of refuge for the Israelites, for the foreigner, and for any other people living among them, so that anyone who has killed another accidentally could flee there.
These cities serve a dual purpose. They protect the accused from immediate vengeance while the facts are determined, and they ensure the facts will be examined carefully, with witnesses and evidence, before any judgment is rendered. If someone kills another person accidentally, if a woodcutter's axe flies off the handle and kills a bystander, if someone pushes another in anger and they fall and die, if there is a tragic accident with no murderous intent, they can flee to a city of refuge. Once there, the accused is safe from the avenger of blood, but they are not free. They must remain in the city. They must stand trial before the assembly. The facts must be examined carefully. Witnesses must testify. The nature of the act must be determined. The law is explicit about what constitutes murder. Murder requires intent, malice aforethought, deliberate planning to cause harm.
But if someone strikes another with an iron object and death ensues, that person is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death.
When the act is clearly intentional and there is evidence of malice, the person is a murderer and must face the ultimate consequence. Their act represents the most fundamental violation of the commandment, the deliberate destruction of a life that bears God's image. But accidental killing is different.
But if without enmity, someone suddenly shoves another, or without seeing it throws something at another unintentionally, or without seeing it lets a stone fall on another, that could kill them, and death results, then since that other person was not an enemy and no harm was intended,
then the person is not a murderer. They may have caused death, but it was not murder. And so the person is not subject to execution. The person's life is spared. This is the crucial insight. Justice must distinguish between different kinds of acts. An accident, however tragic, is not the same as murder. Carelessness is not the same as malice. A death caused by negligence is not the same as a death caused by deliberate intent to harm. What is remarkable about this law is that it offers mercy without erasing accountability. The person who caused an accidental death is not executed. Their life is spared. This is mercy. It recognizes that the person is not a murderer and does not deserve death. But they are not simply freed either. They must live in the city of refuge. They lose their freedom. They are separated from their family and their home. They cannot return to their previous life. This is accountability. This is the recognition that you have done something that has consequences. You have caused a death, even if it was accidental, even if you did not intend it. You bear responsibility for what happened. Every day in the city of refuge is a reminder. Every day separated from home is a consequence of your actions. The person must live with the weight of what they have done. They cannot simply move on and pretend it did not happen. But there is also mercy. The person's life is not required. The person can repent, can grieve, can live with the weight of their actions while still having the possibility of a future. And when the high priest dies, the person is free to leave. The death of the high priest functioned as a kind of national reset or symbolic atonement, after which the person was free to return home without fear of retaliation. They can rebuild their life. The mercy is not eternal separation, but eventual restoration. If the accused leaves the city of refuge before the high priest dies, they lose the protection. The avenger of blood can kill them without being guilty of murder. This reveals something important. The refuge is not a reward. It is not a pleasant place to live. It is a place of exile. It is where you must go if you want protection from blood vengeance. If you will not accept the separation, you forfeit the protection. The cities of refuge reveal something essential about biblical justice. Justice requires discernment. It is not about immediate punishment. It is about understanding what happened, examining intent, determining responsibility, and assigning consequences appropriately. This is harder than simple retribution. Simple retribution says, someone is dead, someone must pay. Kill them. Justice is done. But this is crude and often unjust. Biblical justice is more complex. Biblical justice says, someone is dead. We must understand what happened. We must distinguish between different kinds of acts. We must examine intent and circumstance. We must assign responsibility accordingly. This approach protects against something crucial: the execution of the innocent. If justice is merely retribution, if whoever causes a death must die, then innocent people will be executed. An accident becomes a capital crime. A tragedy becomes murder. But biblical justice insists on discernment. The cities of refuge also hold accountability and mercy together. You can hold someone responsible for their actions while also sparing their life. You can acknowledge the tragedy of what happened while recognizing that not all killings are the same. You can offer both consequence and restoration. The sixth commandment protects life. But it also requires we do justice carefully, that we distinguish between different kinds of acts, that we examine intent and circumstance before assigning consequences. In our modern world, we struggle with these same questions: with how to do justice, with how to hold people accountable while treating them humanely, with how to protect victims without destroying the innocent. The cities of refuge offer us wisdom. They remind us justice requires discernment, that not all acts resulting in death are the same, that we must examine intent, circumstance, and evidence carefully before rendering judgment. They also remind us that justice tempered with mercy is wiser than simple retribution. A system that insists on executing everyone who causes a death is a system that executes the innocent. A system that offers some possibility of restoration, even after accountability, is a system that recognizes the complexity of human life and the possibility of redemption. True justice is not simple vengeance. True justice examines facts carefully. It distinguishes between different kinds of wrong. It holds the guilty accountable while protecting the innocent. It offers the possibility of restoration even after accountability. When we practice this kind of justice in our families, communities, and legal systems, we protect life in the deepest sense. We create communities where the innocent are safe from false accusation, where the guilty are held accountable proportionately, and where mercy and justice flow together. Father, help us seek truth before judgment. Help us distinguish rightly, hold the guilty accountable without harming the innocent, and remember that justice tempered with mercy is wiser than retribution. Form us into people who practice justice with wisdom, protecting the innocent, honoring the sacredness of life, and holding accountability and mercy together. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.